T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
What's up? How are you?
Hello, everybody.
With Lou Maloney.
A little toke, a little bunt right here.
Christian Fourier.
I don't get out of bed for two guys.
And Glenn Ordway.
You are not about to do this, homeboy.
While the guys were away, the Red Sox continue to be the hottest team in Boston.
And this ball is long gone.
Oh, he leaned on this.
We talked to Alex Cora at 2:15.
Want to give away a pair of tickets?
Don't miss your chance to win a pair of Red Sox tickets today. And we talked to NFL draft analyst Matt Miller at 5 p.m. Now it's time for OMF.
Down he goes, so justice prevails.
On EEI.
4 hours. That's right, 4 hours today. Woo! For Lou, he's been doing like 5 or 6. But Fourier and I, it is 4 hours today.
Man. Yeah, Lou's definitely built up some stamina, yeah. I would say. Right. I'd say you and I.
We can back off at 5 o'clock. Let him do it.
Yeah. Well, what I suggest is that we tag team. You know, like an old wrestler, you know, a bit. Like, we'll be the tall man and the fat man.
No, listen,
okay?
I disagree.
Go get him.
I'm a little bit out of shape. I did 6 baseball games in like 10 days. We had 8 games. We haven't had a show, so I just show up. I'm kind of like, I don't know what to do. I got to write down my lineup, over the scouting report and the pitcher. I'm sort of lost right now.
Well, this is easy. So we're going to make it easy on you.
Oh, okay.
We're going to start baseball.
Oh, because we got Alex Cora.
Yeah, Alex at 2:15.
We want to work you into this slowly, Lou. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys.
You remember when I said a couple of weeks ago that they really in the Northeast should not be playing baseball games until like April the 16th? Remember I said how that stupid, idiotic take I had like 2 weeks ago? Look at it outside.
It's snowing. It's raining. Snowing. Yeah, I know.
What difference does it make? April 1st or April the 16th? What difference does it make?
But hell, it snowed in Minnesota. They played through it. So what are we even discussing? Like, there's like, hey, are they going to play? No, if anything, okay, if you found out anything, is that, hell, baseball players can play in the same inclement weather that football players play.
No, but it's a good point, though, Glenn, because if you opened up the first 13 in a row the first 2 weeks, it came back to beautiful Boston. And you got snow on the ground. I mean, what the hell's the difference?
Different. No difference.
Get him in.
It isn't. It's a crapshoot. It's all luck. It doesn't matter.
Football is played in any kind of weather.
There you go.
Rain, sleet, snow, hail, mud. Can't read the numbers on the field. Can't read the yard markers. Can't read the players' numbers. The struggle will continue. In baseball, if it rains, we don't come out to play.
Not anymore. Not anymore. It's a new era of toughness. I tell you what.
So we'll see how the weekend goes. Who knows? Maybe they're going to be playing 2 on Sunday, 2 on Monday. So let's take advantage. We got 4 hours. We got Alex Cora coming up, and he'll be with us at 2:15 today. So let's start with the Red Sox. 13 games.
Yeah.
As Lou keeps on teasing people on Twitter, Red Sox are good.
Not a tease.
Oh, my God. Well, he won't stop, will he?
No.
He won't stop.
Well, they're good.
How good are they?
A few years ago, it was like, they don't lose much, do they? Right?
Based 18? On what?
Yeah, they don't lose much, right? This year? No, they're a good team. This is a good team. Yeah, I watched that Minnesota team, and of course, everybody's healthy. Buxton and Donaldson and Cruz. It's got a very good lineup. Sox have a very good lineup. Berrios, good pitcher. Maeda's a good pitcher. But, you know, neither one of them blow you away as far as being like ace. I know Maeda was great last year, and you start looking around, and, you know, everybody thinks Houston's a great team. They got Greinke. Verlander's out. I don't know. What's the difference? Like, that's where you start looking at. What's the difference? The Yankees have an opener. Their staff's a mess after Cole, which I told you. What's the difference between them and everybody else?
Well,
and there really isn't.
This point, you're right.
Well, I mean, you can say to this point. So, you know, you got a guy like Arroyo's getting hot right now. Okay, then he's going to cool off. And then maybe Kike's the guy or Marwin's the guy. They have so many options, you know, offensively to move guys around. Whoever gets hot, you ride the hot hand. They have a pitching staff that, okay, they're giving them 5-2. You know, Richards, who I'm not a fan of right now, still went five scoreless as far as, you know, earned runs go. It was an error by Dahlbeck.
He was lucky. He can't continue to do that.
Well, you could say he can't continue to do it, but it's 5 and 2 runs, 5 and no runs. So, you know, if he got bombed, I'm pretty sure you'd think he would continue to do that.
Yeah, but he got bombed his first time.
Isn't this an easy... You should. Forget about 162. I don't want to hear, I don't know yet. Everyone's healthy.
They're a good
team.
They
haven't had any issues. You've seen them all kind of playing at their best. So, based on that, they're going to be in every single game. They're competitive enough, and I think that's what that stands out to me. Not that JD Martinez is hitting, not that Devers is figuring it out at third and everybody else and not all these other guys that they brought in are contributing. It's the competitive spirit. Like, and forget about fun. Like, they like the moment. They like the opportunity to kind of make a difference, and it is contagious. Hell, he gets one day, Verdugo gets it another day, JD gets it the other day. To me, that is what ultimately, for me, makes them interesting.
Well,
they don't lay down to anybody.
I'll give you that, but it's 3 weeks.
Yeah. I know, but again, April, like we can't. I'm not going to do this and say I'll give you an answer in August.
Well, you have to though.
Like, you know, based on the information you have now,
they're good.
This next series with the White Sox, I think the word's out. Listen, they're not a pushover. You've got to come with it. You can't just kind of, you know, walk up to the diamond and act like, you know, you're going to get a hit. Like, they're good. Minnesota learned that lesson. Baltimore learned that lesson. Tampa learned that lesson. They're not a pushover. That, I think, is obvious at this point in time.
I think you're playing a team that might be one of the best in the American League.
Yes.
And I don't know what their record is right now. It's not great, but their staff is legit.
Right.
And, you know,
we
do it with the Patriots, right? 2 weeks into it, you know what I mean? We don't know what they're going to be, but we still talk about them.
Right.
So, to me, this team, you could sit there and say, oh, now everyone's going too far, right? Oh, we'll see what the All-Star break. We'll see at the end of April. We'll see what they play when they play a good team. So, we keep moving the goalpost. And we can't jump to, are they a playoff team or not? Because we got to realize where they started. Where it started was, I have zero interest in this baseball team, this baseball season. I have no reason to watch this team. I don't like this organization. They traded away Mookie. You know, I don't think Chaim Bloom's doing a good job. So we've got to go by what we started at. Anybody that sat there and said, still, that I don't enjoy watching this team hasn't watched this team.
So I think that's a legitimate point.
That's the thing. There's
that
interest.
Part of it is legitimate.
There needs to be interest. It's a fun team to watch.
Right.
Like every single night, they're winning differently. I mean, so it's a baby step thing to the point where if you didn't think you would be interested in the Red Sox this year, my guess is if you've been watching, you're absolutely interested.
That part of it is completely legit. And that is that I think going into the season, there was very little faith, very little confidence that they were going to be good. Matter of fact, a lot of people thought they were going to be as bad as last year. I don't see how that was possible since they actually have major leaguers on the roster this year. And they actually had pseudo minor leaguers on the roster last year. So, but you're right, Lou. Off to a terrific start. The question is, have they interested the fringe baseball fan out there? And that they're not only good, but they're fun. Now, I don't know if it's going to last, because baseball, as we said, is a long season. But based on the first 13 games, do you now suddenly have interest in this baseball team? Where going into the season, you really didn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
And I think that's the question.
Like people still, the Yankees, you know, they're in last place. They're not going to be there for long. Don't worry about it. They're a good team. Well, then you're not really paying attention.
Yeah, you don't like the Yankees.
No, listen, they're not athletic at all. You know, they get hitting more double plays right now. It's a home run.
Stanton's off to a great start. What are you talking about?
Home run or bust.
Well, man, Kluber's been dealing, right?
Kluber's getting smacked. Tyon's getting smacked. I mean, it's just like Montgomery's okay, but what's his career? You know, he's been throwing. He hasn't even thrown in the big leagues, for God's sakes. They have Cole. So you tell me, how are they going to come back? I don't see it. They got injury questions. They got maybe more questions than you do in that staff. So if that's the best team in this division, why shouldn't this team be competing for it? They absolutely will be competing for this division. Toronto's good. They absolutely will be.
Well, the most important thing is, I think, they believe that they're better than anticipated.
Yeah.
And that's what stands out to me, like the fact that they believe that they should be in every single game despite what the score is, which is what you didn't get last year and 19. Hell, I don't remember, but 18 it was the same way.
Right? Yeah,
I'm
not sure they're going to be in every single game. And Richard still, I think, is a crapshoot. We'll have to see how that plays out. But Lou's right. They you can look at them and say that with the personnel that they have, that they can be competitive because they are going to hit. And we thought they were going to hit. Now, it still comes down to that pitching and what you're going to get out of that pitching. I don't know. I mean, that we're going to have to wait and see, and how quickly Sale comes back and whether he can be the old Chris Sale. If he is, he gives them a huge lift. So if one of these guys fail and Tanner Houck can come in and fill that spot, and then you bring Sale into the equation, suddenly that changes everything.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And the Yankee thing could be the biggest disaster ever, considering the fact that they were loaded with talent and were not willing to snip above that luxury tax. And if that's the case, the Yankees will be victimized by being too cheap, something that people, for some reason, always throw at the Boston Red Sox. Alex Cora normally joins us on Wednesday, but since we've had all these games, Alex Cora will be joining us coming up next in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll give a pair of tickets away to see a Red Sox game. And remember, they only allow 4,500 people over there at the Ball Yard, and you could be one of them. Matt Miller will join us at 5 o'clock. We'll continue our run towards the NFL draft, because let's face it, we care around here. And it's OMF Ups, as we do every Friday at the end of the program. And this week, since Christian and I had the week off, we'll sit back and we'll laugh at everybody else's screw-ups. All of
finally.
That more, yep, on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is OMF on EEI.
One thing for sure, We had a lot of new people here, right? But I think the guys that were here last year, you know, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun for them. So they put in the work to keep getting better and keep winning ball games. And, you know, it's a testament to them. You know, last year it was tough to watch. It was tough for them that were here. And now that, you know, it's still early, but they can see the talent that we have and what we're doing. It's fun for them again. Baseball is fun for them.
That's Alex Cora talking about his team and how much fun it is. And right now he's got his team in first place in the AL East at 9-4. They have a three-game cushion right now over Toronto. And it's time for Alex Cora to join us here. Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella Insurance, and Zenni, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox, major league style and minor league prices. Visit Zenni.com. Manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, joins us live from Fenway. Hello, Alex.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up, Alex?
You sound good. Look at that.
It's got a Comrex.
Very professional.
Yeah, very professional.
I mean, I got a mic here. I got a machine here to talk to you guys.
A machine? I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like a pitching machine? What is that?
No. We use those in the mornings, yeah. No, I don't even know. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Nice. Just happy to be here with you guys.
Well, you said this during spring training numerous times. You told us the last time you were here. You saw a totally different team from what the rest of the world saw with this Red Sox team. And after a real tough start of losing the first three games at home against Baltimore, it's been the team that you kind of predicted it would be. What did you see back in spring? What did you see when you first got here that was different?
Just a good baseball team. I keep saying it. There's no explanation. I do believe our rotation is solid. Our bullpen is good. We're missing some. I mean, we're missing Brazier, but I mean, the guys that we have right now is, you know, they're good. So you know, Darwinson has stepped it up the last week. JT threw the ball better lately. Sawamura is a good addition. Adam will be fine, and Barnsey, he's been phenomenal. And as far as position players, a lot of people thought that this team was inexperienced. And you know, Hunter was in the World Series last year. He's a good defender. He has power. He's at bats in spring training against righties were better than what people thought. Enrique, he's great overall. He can play second. He can move around. Smart player. Marwin, you've seen it. We move around, and he does all the little things to win ball games. Those three guys have been in the World Series, right? And then you, Rafi swinging the bat well, Xander, Christian, and Kevin, they're good catchers. So overall, it's just a good baseball team. And we still have to work. That's the most important thing. We can't take this start for granted. Like, okay, we're 9-4, whatever it is, and, well, we're going to win the division. No. We have to work our way to win the division, but we know that on a daily basis we have a chance because our pitching staff will give us 5 or 6 innings. They're going to keep the game under control, and offensively, you know, we will score runs. So we like what we have, but like I said, you know, keep working at it, keep getting better defensively. That's the key. I think that's the most important thing, and if we do that, we're going to be in good shape.
Alex, you talked about Matt Barnes. This is a guy, I think, last year, the year before, to quote, saying he'd rather walk a guy than give up a home run. I felt like last couple of years it was curveball coming out of the pen, and just kind of didn't like contact too much. This year, it's I don't know. You tell me, what happened here? Was it a conversation where it's just fastball, here it is, let it eat, and then the curveball plays late? Because he's just pounding the zone with his fastball, like confident.
Yeah, more aggressive, and sometimes I wonder, you know, if we got caught up on the playoff run, right, in October. In October, we pitched to the edges in 18 a lot, and we got some swing and misses. We avoid damage, and I think that mindset stick with us in 19, and we walk a lot of people. We were striking up people. You know, we were avoiding damage the whole season, and that's hard to do. You know, I think our bullpen led the league in walks. You had work. We had work and Barnsey, either striking out people or walking people, right? Mm-hmm. And now the message is different. It's like we have to pound the strikes and we have to throw strikes. You look at the Rays and the Dodgers, what they did last year, they were always working ahead in the count. And when they had somebody 0-2, instead of setting them up to get a swing and miss in the 2-2 count, they bury you right away. And, you know, we study what they did. Obviously, Haim comes from an organization that, you know, pitching is, you know, one of the best, right, around the league. And he has certain ideas, and our guys are buying into it. And we've been more aggressive in the strike zone.
So, Alex, just take me back to yesterday with Verdugo, his at-bat. What went into your process, your mindset, as far as letting him take the at-bat instead of pinch-hitting with J.D. Martinez?
Alex is a good hitter. He can hit lefties. He showed it last year. And he's hitting second for a reason in this team. He's one of our best hitters. And, you know, we sent Marwin for Enrique thinking that they were going to bring the lefty for Marwin there, and that's when JD was going to hit. They didn't do it. They battled. I kept looking at Rocco, and he waited a little bit. JD was standing right next to me. He goes and got the lefty, but I wasn't going to hit JD there. You know, you got to let Alex hit in that situation, and he will hit in those situations throughout the season. We're not going to pitch it for him, and that was a great at-bat. 10-pitch at-bat, two close pitches outside, was able to foul off a good slider, and for him to stay on the pitch and go the other way, that was cool to see. And obviously the emotion that he showed at second base, we'll take that in every day.
Yeah, is it fair to say that that relationship, that bond, that trust that needs to exist between manager and player just got a lot stronger yesterday with you just leaving him in there, letting him kind of do his thing?
Maybe. I think he knows that we're not going to hit for him there. If I hit for him there, probably I lose him, right?
Yeah.
So he knows how we feel about him. He knows that we know that he's a great hitter. And, you know, he put some good swings 2 days ago. He actually, when he hit the home run off the lefty, he goes, "Now we go." And everybody in the dugout, like, "Now?" Like, we've been going for 9 days already. If you're late to the party, hey, we welcome you. But then he kind of said, no, now we go against lefties. And but it's just fun. And, you know, it's such a good team. You know, like, they get along. I think the veteran presence of Hunter, Enrique, Marwin, they brought something new to this equation. And nothing against the guys. I love those guys that are playing all around the league right now. But it's just different in the clubhouse. It's a different lingo. It's a different group compared to what we had in 18 and 19. And I like where we at. I like where we at as a group. But like I said, just keep working and keep getting better.
Alex Cora joining us on OMF. I think most people, Alex, like the video replay. I like it because I think in most cases it helps you get the call right. On the other hand, now we're seeing 3, 4, 5 minutes for them to get to the bottom of it, and then you can't review foul balls. Obviously, you had two bad calls against you in the last couple days, one of them that could have been a game changer for you, and I'm wondering how you feel about video review.
Yeah, actually, I was talking to my brother on the way here, and you know, now, I mean, the thing with video, right? It wasn't for the slide that the guy just came off, right? Like, that wasn't the reason we added video. And I think teams obviously took advantage of it, and now that's what they do. You saw it at second yesterday with Arroyo.
Yeah.
He hits the ball off the wall, and I'm watching the game in my office. I'm like, oh, God, no, come on. You know, like, can't be. You can't. And then those two happened, one with Christian, right? And 2 days ago when the umpire said that the catcher caught the ball and the ball, like, rattled around, right?
Bounced.
I mean, it bounced. It wasn't even close. And then yesterday, you know, you saw the hitter. He took off because he swung a miss, and he saw the ball bounce, and he took off to first. And for them to call a foul ball, you know, we were very surprised. But I do believe that we got to get to the point that, you know, just get it right. You know, like, that's what we want. If it was a foul tip, and you went to the video and it was a foul tip, so be it, you know, and we move on. I mean, it's just something that it frustrates you as a manager, and I understand the pace of play and all, and we want a faster pace, but there's just get the call right. That's why we got the system. The people in New York, I know they have a tough job, but they're there for a reason, and if we can add a few things, we should do it.
I think it's scary when people at home watching it and they're showing the replay two or three times, get it about a minute and a half earlier than the umpires do. there's something wrong with that, because you're right. They're sitting there in New York. They're looking at the same thing that we're viewing. Matter of fact, they're getting more angles of it than we're getting on TV. I don't understand why they can't simply say, boom, there it is. Wow.
Glenn,
safe.
And when you're in the dugout and all of a sudden it takes longer than, I mean, you call Michael Brantley, who's our video guy. You call him and he tells you, he goes, not even close. And you're there and you're waiting, you know, like in certain calls, and you're like, what's going on here? You know, like, and then when you have to wait, that's when you start wondering, like, okay, this is going to go against us. We felt like the one at second yesterday was the one with Devers, the throw to Dahlbeck. I don't know. I didn't see the replay after that. It was actually closer than the way that was a quick call right away. And we kept looking at it like, wow, it doesn't seem that obvious. But obviously they have different camera angles. But it's tough to be in the dugout and wait for the calls. When they're going 3-4 minutes, it's like, okay, where are we at with this?
So, Alec, Garrett Richards' last couple outings, a lot better than obviously his first one. I'm just curious, and maybe I just remember it wrong, but I always thought he was like just sinker slider monster, like big time movement in the fastball, down and in. And I don't see that sinker at all, like a two seamer at all. And actually, the four seamer kind of looks like it cuts a little at the end. But did the sinker go away, or am I imagining things?
No, I mean, it's a four seamer with a natural cut at 94, 95 that he can pitch, you know, up and away. He can throw you inside, and it's like a front door cutter. We like the curveball. It's, I mean, as far as like spin rate and everything that goes on, you know, it's one of the best. The slider is probably his best breaking ball, but he's not there yet with it. Yeah. So there was a good one yesterday against Nelson, right, in the first inning on an 0-2 count. But we like where he's at, to be honest with you. Those first two runs, you know, we don't make a play. Same thing happened in Baltimore with the two homers, and then Rafi forget the outs or whatever. But, I mean, 5 and 2 runs, that's pretty good. And, you know, we're taking care of them physically. Nobody has gone over 100 yet. I think the only one – no, I'm wrong. Pivetta, I think he went over 100. But, you know, I do believe stuff-wise, this pitching staff is pretty solid. You know, 94 from – 95 from Richards. Nate obviously thrown 100. Eduardo, you saw it. He's one of the best lefties in the league. And you know, Pivetta throwing 97 in the last inning in Baltimore. Martin, it seems, in two starts – like broken bat singles and ground balls going the other way, so they're doing a good job. And then Tanner, obviously, we you know, he's done a good job for us too. And we feel pretty good about our pitching staff. That's why we feel that this team, you know, can continue to play good baseball, because they're gonna keep us in the game and we're gonna keep doing our thing offensively.
The new rules that they're gonna try out in the Atlantic League, there's a couple of them that they're trying out. The one that kind of stands out to me that I actually like is moving the mound back 12 inches.
If you're now,
they should have done that in 1998,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah. Amen. Right? What are your thoughts on
the
it?
The statement saying, come on, bro. Let's
come
go.
On. Oh, man. Come on. No, man. No. Your line is, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't know.
What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, and the double hook.
I go, whatever. Come on. Honestly.
You gotta be careful.
I do believe,
get fined again.
Well, if it's only a fine, that's nothing. Yeah.
you've seen a lot worse.
Sorry, but it's the truth. You know.
Yeah.
I do believe that for us to get the pay, I do believe we went to Baltimore and Minnesota, and Lou, you guys asked me this question about the baseball.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's real. It's not traveling. You have to crush it. You have to. You know, I haven't seen too many fly balls that just go out. Actually, we hit the ball hard in Minnesota. And
Rafi the other day.
Rafi, and he missed one yesterday. Hunter hit one. Yeah. So I think, you know, as far as runs and home runs, it's going to come back to reality. The other part of it, if that happens, then you have to play better defense. And if fly balls are not going out, then you can start running, because you gotta move the guys around. So I think sometimes we overthink how we're gonna get this game better, you know, and watchable. Let's see how it plays out now. I mean, all this stuff about the lefties can't pick off. You know, they have to step up and throw the first and moving them out. Yeah, I mean, we got to be careful. You know, we got to be careful. I know other leagues have made adjustments. We made. I believe this baseball stuff. It's a big adjustment, and the game is going to play different. You, obviously, in the summer, the ball is going to fly, but that happens anywhere.
You can't that double hook rule. I mean, if your pitcher goes out and struggles, now you got to pull your best hitter or one of them. Like, that just makes no sense to me.
No, I mean that's why you got 14 pitchers, right? You gotta grind and you gotta use everybody, and that's why you got a 40-man roster, and you have to maneuver, and the GMs, that's why they get paid the big bucks, and you know, and then the managers, they have to make decisions based on not only today and tomorrow, and I mean, you can come back. I mean, I've seen games, you're down 7-1, and you come back in the eighth inning because you still have that good hitter. So let's not get too smart about it. Let's see how it plays this year. I want to see how it plays.
Quickly, yeah. Before we let you go, what are they telling you about the chance of playing tonight?
It looks bad out there. I think they're meeting right now, so we should know either, you know, in half hour what's going to happen.
Okay, so
I was playing with the kids with the snow this morning, so that was surreal, man. I mean, that was crazy.
April in Boston.
Crazy. They got mad at me because I left. They wanted to be playing with the snow. I'm like, hey, man, we got work to do.
If that's the case, it's a 4:05 Fox game tomorrow. I would guess that you'd have to play two either Sunday or Monday. Would that make sense?
I think it makes more sense Sunday, right? And then we have the 11 a.m. On Monday.
Oof,
that's tradition. And come on, man. We're just here, bro. We're just here. We should be okay. We should be okay.
All right. Alex, always good talking to you. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, guys.
Have a
take
good
care.
One, bud. Right. See you later. Alex Kaur joining us right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
And sometimes I wonder, you know, if we got caught up on the playoff run, right, in October. In October, and I think that mindset stick with us in 19. And we walk a lot of people. You know, I think our bullpen led the league in walks. And now the message is different. It's like we have to pound the strikes and we have to throw strikes. You look at the Rays and the Dodgers, what they did last year, they were always working ahead in the count. When they had somebody 0-2, instead of setting them up to get a swing and miss in the 2-2 count, they bury you right away. You know, we study what they did. You have certain ideas, and our guys are buying into it.
Fascinating. Alex Kaur talking about 18-19 and where they are today. And it's funny because if you look at some of the numbers right now, the analytics for the Red Sox, they're not real good for 2021. They really play to old school numbers, old school analytics, and yet it's working for them. And I don't know, you know, batting average is something nobody cares about. Well, that batting average is pretty damn good. I mean, you can see it even with the hitting numbers as well.
He's 100% right. And it got to the point where it was really annoying to watch Barnes or Workman to come out, curveball, ball one, 1-0. Well, I'm going to throw him a curveball again, 2-0. Guess what? Here it comes again, because I certainly, or I'll throw a fastball up to hopefully you chase. Like you can have this little run they had in 18, and it was fantastic. But then again, that was sort of when the fastball up, curveball down was kind of like somewhat of a new thing, year old. Yep. But then it was all over baseball to the point where they just took it to the extreme. They never wanted contact. They never want to throw a strike. And now it's like Barnes comes in. He's like, screw you. It's 95. Like, he's got guys swinging on his fastball because he's completely flipped the scouting report. They're sitting curveball, and he's throwing fastball right down the middle. Well, I mean, he's probably 75% chance of one of the first two pitches are curveball. So if he threw me a heater, I'm sitting curveball. And he comes with another fastball. And it's just challenging, guys, especially he is. He's outstanding.
Now, I think it's amazing that you look at it, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they're right about all of this. Maybe as you watch the analytics, and the game has changed dramatically, Lou, from baseball people to more of the Ivy League preps who are sitting in the general manager's offices, and they're really, in many respects, managing the game. You've got a field boss down there, but they're kind of doing it through the computers.
Is it
possible that they're wrong with some of this stuff? That they've overanalyzed this stuff.
Well, I mean, sure, I guess. But as of right now, I mean, the MVP of the short season is Alex Cora, just based on just everything that he saw, everything that he did while he was out of the game, watching games on TV, noticing what good teams are doing, noticing changes. I mean, just really, just almost like just, you know, what it, as bad as that situation was for him, it did create a unique opportunity for him to learn a little bit more. Even to what we were talking about as far as just, you know, when they're hitting. Like, they don't strike out.
No.
They don't strike out. They're one of the best in the American League as far as their strikeout rate goes.
And that's against the grain.
Well, to your point, it is. They've very quietly in 13 games kind of, everyone's like, I hate analytics. And maybe that's the reason why when you watch them, you're actually enjoying watching them play because they're against a lot of it right now. You know, and even like, because he talked about Chaim Bloom and this whatever, pitching, you know, bringing this plan with him. You know, you nibble so much. That's one thing. They don't want you to nibble, you know, and miss balls. Like, ball one, 1-0. Well, sure. You face a guy like Mike Trout, so you want to nibble. Well, guess what his average is when it's 1-0 because you just did that? It goes up a lot. So it's like, yeah, you're afraid of throwing that first pitch for a strike on the zone somewhere, but 1-0, all of a sudden now he's a much better hitter. So attack these guys. And the contact, I mean, they got a bottom of the order. We sat there and said between Renfro and Dahlbeck and Franchi, these guys might hit 25, but they're going to strike out 180 times. All of a sudden, Dahlbeck's making contact when needed be. You know, Renfro's making contact when he needs to. They're manufacturing runs. They're moving runners over. Hell, Plawecki put a bunt down the other day that scored two. They're doing things against the current day baseballs. There's still analytics in there, but there seems like they're more, I don't know, aware of the human element.
Okay, so what about, the question about, you know, new rules, you know, being played out in the Atlantic League, at least half the season, the second half of the season. Theo Epstein was talking about it the other day. And then he brings up the ball. Okay, mm-hmm. So like that's a real thing. We're noticing it. You've got to hit it square. You got to really put something on it to get it out of there. And again, okay, but maybe that's just because it's, you know, basically still winter technically,
right,
in a way.
Yes,
it could
very well be.
I still think completely changing. You would never really know.
Yeah, like that ball that Renfro hit out the other day in the snowstorm. Like, yeah, that ball would have gone, you know, 2 months from now, that probably would have gone 440, but it was in the snow. It was 32 degrees, and then he hit another one the next day, or I think it was yesterday, that would have got out too, and it didn't. Is it because of the ball, or, you know, is it because of, you know, just that it's so damn cold? Like, Acuna's hitting home runs left and right, so the ball not affecting him, and warm weather out in California, the Dodgers, whatever, yeah, San Diego. Yeah. So I still think it's cold. I still think we're months away from knowing whether the dead ball, but his point is you change one thing at a time and see what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Rather than saying, okay, we're going to change the ball, we're going to have a pitch clock, we're going to move the mound back, and we're going to do this double hook stupid thing with the DH all at once. Dumb. One thing at a time.
Yeah, I don't like that one. The double hook where they where the designated hitter is available in both conferences, and what is it? When the pitcher leaves, the designated hitter has to leave.
Stupid.
Right.
I do like the idea of moving it back.
But we're playing this game with the National League and the designated hitter. And last year you allowed it. Now suddenly you've changed your mind on it. I mean, I think you've got to be uniform. If you're going to have interleague play and the final contest of the year is an American League team against the National League team, you got to have the same rules in both ballparks. You can't have different rules. It's ludicrous.
And the double hook. So, yeah, the DH is tied to the starting pitcher. So when the starting pitcher comes out of the game, the DH has to come out of the game.
Correct.
And
or the pitcher has to.
So if you hate openers, you love this rule, right? Team like Tampa Bay, maybe they have a couple of openers. And the second inning, you got to pull your DH. because the starter comes out of the game, right? But I don't think Erod goes out there, doesn't have it, 3 1/3, doesn't have it. You're down 5-1. You need offense to come back in this game. Well, you just made it a lot harder because now I got to pull JD out of the lineup because my starting pitcher didn't throw well? No, that's just a dumb rule.
Is there a logical reason why Major League Baseball doesn't have a universal DH right now?
Because they couldn't negotiate it. They're saving it for the CBA.
They can never negotiate anything. Stupid. They couldn't negotiate when Rob Manfred came out 2 years ago and said, I don't care what the Players Association is saying. We're taking a hit here with the public. We need to set up a pitch clock. And the public said, yay, hurrah, let's do it. And they never, ever did it. And 2 years later, he's still waiting for the next collective bargaining agreement to be able to use it as some type of leverage.
Yeah, I'm serious this time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm serious this time.
I wasn't lying. Last time, but this time I'm really serious.
It was just me getting warmed up.
That's and the other one, too, they're gonna move the mound back 12 inches.
Yeah.
60 feet, 6 inches now. And I would say 6 inches might be enough, but you want to go back 12 just to see what if it messes everybody up? Fine, but maybe 6 inches? Yeah, that's a possibility. They always talk about lowering the mound, get stuff guys a little bit flatter. So one thing at a time, But I like the fact that they're actually, interchange or they're checking things out.
Okay, so here's the thing though. So it's just a tease is all it is. Because what will the romantics say? When the romantics come in and say, what about the history of baseball? Isn't anything pure anymore? Why do we have to change the rule? This has been around forever. When he played, it was the same distance.
Yeah, but the other sports have all changed. The NBA now has three-point shooting. It's totally different than what you had in the 80s and even in the
90s. But baseball, I would say,
what about football? Football's a passing game now. It was a running game 40 years ago.
No, that's different, though. Well, if you said, hey, I'm going to make...
Game has changed.
No, you're talking about just overall philosophy of how you approach the game. The difference would be, hey, let's make the end zone, 5 yards deeper. That would be the difference. Let's narrow the playing field and make it harder for these guys to get around.
No,
that would be the equivalent.
No, wait a minute.
Not like, oh, they're throwing the ball now. That's,
no, Christian.
That's not the same.
The rule change was you can't touch a receiver. You get 5 yards and that is it.
You said when that's a passing league now.
No, it is because they changed the rules. Defensively, you can't do anything to these receivers. So if you want to go back and compare, and you can't compare generation to generation from guys in the 50s and the 60s, that their receivers were getting the crap beat.
Yeah, but when it comes to moving the mound, to me, that is like they want to make the bases bigger. I don't see what that really does. Like, they want to make the bases bigger, fine. But moving the mound back when it's been the same distance, I don't know, since 18, whatever.
I don't know. Lou, you tell me, what happens to a pitcher that has been pitching his entire life, except when he was in Little League, with a shorter distance to the mound? Now he's going to have to do this when he's throwing breaking pitches. He's trying to locate these pitches. And now suddenly you're going to change this thing a foot?
It'll be an adjustment. He's throwing a four-seam fastball through the catcher anyways, so what's another foot or 6 inches? You're breaking balls, you're right. I like they do it in the minor leagues. They communicate, they test it out. The pitch clock has worked. The man on second base, that came from one of these experiments.
It's good.
In extra innings, which I think is great.
Yep.
They played 2 sevens down in the minor leagues. I think that's great. So just keep testing things. He mentioned one of them that I despise that they're doing. Like a pitcher, they want more stolen bases. So a pitcher has to step off the mound to throw to first. And for righties, they do anyways, but for lefties. So left-handers facing, you can no longer lift your leg and throw to first. You have to step off and throw. I hate that. So stupid. Reward the lefty for a good move. Are we going to take that out of the game? So the minute the lefty lifts, he can't go to first base. Dumb. So some of the stuff is dumb, but I applaud them for trying. We always talk, you talk about all the people that are like, don't change the game. I think the other people are louder. The game needs change.
Yeah, the game does need
change. So they're starting to get loud. I think COVID, the benefits of COVID, there's not a lot. So don't get it twisted. There's not, because we are all in this together, but it did provide a unique opportunity. We said this, 8-9 months ago, that their teams in sports conference, they were going to be forced to try new things just because they had no other choice. Now, what they adopt from that will be seen, but I just wish they would just follow through on it. Because out of all the sports, baseball seems the most resistant. Like, they don't want to do it.
Well, they experiment in the minor leagues, and they've been experimenting with the pitch clock now for over 2 years. But they don't want to incorporate it because they're fearful of dealing with the Players Association. Lou just mentioned stolen bases. Stolen bases are down because the analytics have changed. They've changed that part of the game. It's not an important part of the game. Matter of fact, your stolen leaders, team-wise, are usually your bad teams now. So it's not necessarily a positive statistic that you're stealing bases. And it is home run or strikeout. That's what they've done. They've done it because they've altered the way they approach the game.
And you got to make it fun, Lou. Come on.
Yeah, you got to make it fun. Yeah, and the, almost to the fact that Major League Baseball is admitting that it's boring. At least Theo Epstein is, who is now a consultant for Major League Baseball. They're admitting that it's getting boring.
And boring they say on it, top of boring on top of boring.
So I hate to say it, and I like the fact that Theo is stepping up right now, but wasn't Theo part of the analytics group, the Sabermetrics people who came in and initiated some of the stuff?
Yeah, but I think even when you start it, you don't realize how far they're going to go with it. You know what I mean? You don't realize, like, it's like instant replay, like Alex was even saying there. It's like, instant replay is great. Don't get away with instant replay. People lose their mind if a game gets called or they lose a game because an obvious call and there's no more instant replay. But people started taking advantage of it. You know, the pop-up slide and a double. Guy slides in a second. He's obviously safe. He pops up. He's for a split second, he's off the bag. We review it. You know, that one last night with Devers, I didn't see it. Dahlbeck's throw took him off the bag. I don't know how you overturned that one. Maybe they had a different view. But we've lost sight in what, you know, the instant replay is for. You know, we've almost, the guy's taken advantage of it. It's for the egregious call. Same thing with analytics. It's gone too far. You know, instant replay's gone too far. So it's like, got to start dialing some of this stuff back.
It's an easy fix.
We've seen the replay. The world's seen the replay. They know he swung and missed.
Yeah. I love it when Joe gets pissed. Don't you love it when Joe gets pissed?
Oh, it's Will.
All they need to do.
That's two. Alex, two fingers. That's two you've missed.
You're right. Put a clock on it, Lou. Put a clock on it. And then during that period
of time.
It won't
be a real clock, Glenn. That's the problem, though.
Put a clock on it.
So what happens if they don't get it? What do
you do? If you can't get it right after 2 minutes, we move on. Sorry,
what are you going to do?
Play stands.
Like, it's never going to work. They're never going to put a cap on it. They won't do it.
Put 60 seconds.
Because
on
you know
it.
What?
Whatever.
If you timed them and you put a hard cap on that, you would be basically admitting that your umps and your, you know, replay system, wherever the hell that is,
are incompetent. Yes, they are.
Yeah, so you're going to have you're going to have to admit that we suck at
part
it.
Part of me thinks that, like, by the time the umpires put the headset on, the guy in New York should already know what the hell to call it.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's like 2-3 minutes after.
Why does the guy on the field actually have to converse back and forth?
He doesn't.
Just
he doesn't
tell
have to
me
do
what
anything.
To say. Just
exactly.
Tell me what to say.
And do it quickly.
Yes,
computer, do it quickly.
Enough for baseball.
Tell him, Louis.
It's ridiculous. This hour of OMF brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Locations in Dedham next to Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire. Online at northeastmenshealth.com. The over-unders are out for the NFL, and they now include a 17th game. Where are the Patriots? We'll get to it next.